Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9 for 2019 of Refs Roundup. It's great to be back in the studio as always to chat about the weekend's games and what's been happening in the world of refereeing. And a very lovely welcome to my favourite NRL referee and my favourite husband, Gavin Badger. Hello, Gavin.
Hey, Case, how's things?
Going pretty well. Battling a bit of a cold, but yeah, going along all right.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Without getting into too much detail, because we're going to touch on it a bit later on in the podcast, but give me a bit of an insight into the weekend.
Yeah, so fortunate enough to be up in Brisbane for the majority of the weekend. I flew up on Friday and got back on Sunday night and spent the weekend up there for what was the inaugural NRL Magic Round. And yeah, it was a great weekend. The city was buzzing with rugby league. So just walking the streets of Brisbane over the couple of days in between games, yeah, so, you know, people of, you know, wearing jerseys of all the NRL teams. So it wasn't just, you know, the normal Broncos jerseys and whoever they were playing against. So there was rugby league people, you know, around the city all weekend. And I managed to go up Friday night just as a fan and sat in the crowd and watched, you know, the two games Friday night. And the thing I noticed, especially over the weekend, was that there were fans from other clubs who stayed to watch the other teams. And a lot of times, you know, people only watch their own teams, so they don't really watch a lot of other players. And just hearing the talk of people talking about players outside their own team and how good this player was, and they didn't realise how good this player was, seeing those guys live was, you know, it was good to see. And like I said, Brisbane was buzzing, and it was buzzing rugby league. So that was a really good weekend.
Yeah, well, Friday night wasn't the only time that you went and sat in the crowd. I heard a bit of a story that you were trying to be a man of the people, as you like to call it, on Saturday night after your game. So you had the 5:30 game, and then at 7 for the 7:30 kickoff, you were spotted in the crowd. Do you want to give us a bit of a rundown of what happened there?
Yeah, at one stage during my game, there was a group of guys in the crowd in Hawaiian shirts, and, you know, it looked like they were having a pretty good night. And they had a sign up saying, yeah, the badge. So when I actually happened to look across and see it, they gave me a big cheer. So I thought, you know, I had some spare time after my game, I thought I'll pop around and say hello. And yeah, got a couple of photos with the boys and was offered, you know, some drinks, but had to politely decline. But yeah, it was good to go over there and sit with those guys and you know, just thank them for being a fan of rugby league referees, which obviously they get some issues.
Something wrong with them.
Yeah, they must have. But yeah, it was good.
It's good. Yeah, good to see. Like I said, that sort of carnival atmosphere and people were in a good mood up there. And the NRL did some pretty cool things during the week with things in the city, the million-dollar kick for goal, and they had different things within the stadium where fans got a packet of cards as they walked in with like four or five players in it, and if their player scored a try, they would win a prize. So like you said, for the people who stuck around for games that their team weren't playing in, they still had a reason to cheer for a certain player, which is, yeah, pretty cool and pretty good initiative from our, I assume it was our marketing team.
Yeah, and even around the ground, outside the ground before the games, there was lots happening for kids. There was, you know, pass the ball competitions, there was jumping castles, you know, there was merchandise stalls and, you know, Fox Sports, and the NRL had other activities out there for the people in between games, or, you know, if they're sitting around and wanted to go outside and get around it. So, yeah, like I said, great weekend, and I think it's something that's going to be around for a while.
Yeah. So with Magic Round, our GPS data was changed a little bit this week. We used another company, which we were trialling. The NRL is looking at bringing it in amongst, I think it was like all clubs and with ourselves as well.
It's something where they're trying to get live data tracked so that the fans can, you know, see what the players are running, see what the referees are running, heart rates,
yeah,
you know, all that, you know.
Which is pretty cool as a fan. That's definitely something that you know, I'd love to see. So our strength and conditioning staff were up there in Brisbane and dealing with all of that sort of stuff throughout the weekend as well. So I'll just touch on that GPS data for this week. So our marathon runner this week with the referees was John Stone at 9.6 kilometres. He was the assist referee in the Melbourne and Parramatta game. So we'll notice that those figures are going to be a little bit down on what they were before, because we've cut out a bit of warm-up in it, because we had some blokes trying to win this award.
There was some dodging of kilometres in warm-ups, I'm certain of.
So a legitimate 9.6Ks from Stoney in the Melbourne and Para game. Our urgency award went to touch judge in the Roosters and Raiders game, Michael Wise. This data is now going to be different from other weeks because the capturing of it happens at a quicker pace than the GPS units that we generally use. So I'm making this up. This isn't what it is.
Is this a me stat?
Yeah, this is a Gavin Badger sort of stat. So say the units we generally use capture something every 10 times every second. Well, these ones would capture it 20 times every second. So there's more data. So if I was, as a touch judge, if I was to move a metre to my left and a metre back to my right really quickly, a certain unit might not capture that you've actually run that distance.
And we found that out with our watches compared to the GPS data. So we wear watches as well in-game, which track heart rates and also track distances, and we find that the watches, because they pick up a lot less than the GPS data, they're always out a K or two in a game, and it's the same with, you know, as you get to different technology and different systems, they're going to pick up and track,
track
marginally better.
Yeah. So, Wiz won that award with 253 times that he hit the high Axel D-cell points, which, is more than double of any other award winner that we've had this year. So it'll be interesting to sort of see if we do go with that technology where people's figures are at. And our gazelle of the week went to another touch judge in the West Tigers and Penrith game. Went to Clayton Sharp, 31.3 kilometres an hour.
That's moving.
It is motoring. Pretty tall guy.
Yeah. And that's the thing. This weekend we had the whole squad had GPS monitors on, where normally it's just the referees that wear the GPS
season. Or the referees who double up on the touch line.
But because we're all, the whole squad, on one weekend, same grounds, it gave us the ability to track everyone, which will give our strength and conditioning staff some really good data going forward.
Yep. So in speaking with Gavin about what we wanted to talk about this week, we wanted to talk a bit about the difference of Magic Round for referees and how that sort of changed things in what we did. But then we realised, well, we actually haven't spoken about what referees do in the lead up to a game and on game day, like in the sheds and post game. So we thought, well, we'll give our listeners a bit of a rundown of what that looks like. And then Gavin can also speak about what happened over the weekend and how Magic Round changed that. So everything kicks off, everything starts with our appointments coming out on a Tuesday. We get told where we're heading for the weekend.
Yes, our weeks generally start on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Monday finishes off the game the week before. Tuesday sort of heads to the game coming up.
The upcoming round, yeah. So we'll take this as being pretend we're on a Saturday game, just because this is always going to be variable depending on what day of the week you're running, which is why the referee scheduling is so much different to a club. A club knows that all their players are playing on a Saturday and they plan their week for that, whereas for the referees, for our strength and conditioning staff and for our coaches, they've got people running from Thursday through to Sunday.
Our floating roster is actually a nightmare for strength and conditioning staff.
I
don't know how they manage it week in, week out, but it would be a logistical and also, you know, physical nightmare for those guys having to maintain, because we've got guys that run over the whole weekend at different stages, and some guys do two games on the weekend.
That's what I was just about to say, and throw into the mix there people who double up as well.
And then travel and people, you know, on flights and getting back at different times.
Yeah,
and
logistical nightmare, So we'll just take the example of someone having a Saturday game. So we would get, if I was on a Saturday game, we'd have our appointments come out on a Tuesday. We train during the week as a squad, and then my game prep, almost like a captain's run, would start on a Friday, the day before the game.
Yeah, so leading in, so say that was your appointment for the weekend, your Saturday. So Wednesday as a squad, Wednesday is a day where the whole squad is in together. Wednesdays, because the Thursday night guys do their game prep / captain's run on a Wednesday, and all the other teams are doing either, if you're on a Sunday, you're doing some physical stuff, gym work, you know, so everyone is in, and we have some video sessions on a Wednesday. So that's the day where we are all in there together. Thursday, Friday, then we start to split up into our teams individually and where we go. So Thursday, generally, if you're on a Saturday, Thursday's your day off. That's your sort of weekend. We say day off, but it's a recovery day. It's where you don't have to go into the office, but there's still some requirements around, you know, making sure that, you know, you're still stretching, you're still doing your prehab stuff and rehab stuff. Then we come into the Friday, where you sort of work together with your team that you're running with that weekend. So the referee and the two referees and the two touchdowns, depending on where they are, if they're full-time officials, they'll all be in there together. If it's the part-time touch judges, they will do their stuff satellite. But the guys that are in the office will do a weight session. So our we call it our day three weights, which is the last day before your game, is an upper body. So there's nothing real heavy, but it's just something to get moving.
It's generally upper body and core with upper a bit of prehab stuff mixed into it.
And it's about, you know, you sort of you do a lightweight session with your team. You have a bit of a chat in between sets and, you know, you start to talk about the game. So off the back of that, generally takes 40 minutes. We're generally in the gym for 40. And then we'll look at a 20-minute, like, light cycle. We get on the spin bikes in your team and we'll put some vision up. So it'll be a vision of either, and I think we've spoken a little bit about this before, either the teams that we got that weekend, or whether we've run together in that team, like the referee and assist ref pairing. And we'll just go through the idiosyncrasies of what we do. And, you know, everyone's a little bit different and we all do things, as much as we try and be the same in, you know, the way we adjudicate, the way we sort of handle different things on the field. Some guys do it a little bit differently than others.
So we spoke about the other week when we played some audio of a game. We spoke about when the head ref and the assist ref would transition, when one's on the ruck and one's on the 10 metres and things like that. So the way or when a head ref transitions might be slightly different to someone else. They have, some people just have preferences.
Yeah, and it might be just the fact of a word. Yeah. Like, some referees will say, I'm going 10.
Yeah.
You know, we're starting to get into the technical talk of all, but which means that they're going to go and hold the 10 metres on that transition.
Yeah. Off a kick.
And some referees will say, you go 10. Or some referees, you know, it just might be. So there's no confusion on the field. Yeah. We need to know, you know, I may not have run with the referee I'm running with for 6 weeks. It might be 8 weeks. It could be. I may never have run with them before. So you need to just work out those little things and you just have a quick chat, and the touch judges will then, you know, talk about how they're going to adjudicate kick chase, what they're going to do on 10 metres. And it's almost like a planning meeting, you know, going forward. And so it's not, we don't sit there for 2 hours and you know, break everything down and overanalyze it. But it's a 20 minutes where we just sort of sit down and everyone will do that differently as well. Some people will get on a spin bike and do it. Some people will go to the coffee shop and have a chat for 20 minutes and, you know, would prefer to do it that way. You know, it's just about getting together in your team and getting some familiarity with the guys that you're running with. So that's your day before game.
Almost like you said, like a team's captain's run.
Yeah. Sometimes, and this is where everything changes and makes it hard for conditioning stuff, sometimes you may be travelling on that day. So if you've got a Townsville game on Saturday, you'll travel on the Friday. So that'll all be done up in Townsville.
Yeah, so we'll find a gym to go to, or the hotel might have a gym, and we'll do day three strength and game prep up there.
Yeah, and the game prep on away trips is a lot different because we're all together, so you've got the touch judges and that as well. So the game prep a lot of the times is over lunch.
Yeah.
So we'll go and have lunch together and we'll sit down and we'll chat about how, you know, how we're going to run that game and you know, how we're going to get through it and make it as clean as possible. So that leads into your game day. So game day is generally everyone has a rest and, you know, depending on, you know, if you're travelling or not, we'll meet up for lunch or whatever. But generally you sort of relax. I know, you know, everyone has a bit different. I know, Case, you like to go to the gym. I'm pretty much similar. I throw the headphones on for an hour and sit in the gym. I don't do much and strut around a little bit, but I like to just have that me time for an hour and just listen to a podcast.
Just like players, everyone will have their preference. Some guys like to go for a swim. Some like to go to the movies, have a sleep, hang around their house, whatever. You and I like to go to the gym, just do a bit of like rolling, prehab sort of work, maybe a little bit of light upper body weights just to get the body moving and, like you said, have the headphones in and just sort of tune out for a bit. So on game day, referees, we get to the field about 2 hours before kickoff. So if we took a 7:30 kickoff, you'd be at the ground about 5:30.
Yeah.
And we arrive in the sheds around that sort of time, sort of dump our bags, generally go out and have a look at the field. If there's a reserve grade game on beforehand, have a look, have a chat around all of that. So that first sort of half an hour at the game is a bit of a buffer time where, in case anything happened on the way there was a car crash, there was a breakdown, there's traffic. Well, you've got about half an hour of buffer time. By about an hour and a half before the game, we then really start getting into our match prep, where we have a physio there at the ground. We have a schedule where, so you've got the four on-field officials, everyone's on the table at a certain at a certain time to get certain work done.
Yeah, so the schedule comes from whoever the head referee is in that weekend. So they'll put together the schedule, where liaising, and a lot of it comes out of that pre-game captain's run chat, where, you know, who needs strapping. Yeah. You know, some guys need their ankle strapped or whatever.
So like for myself, I always ask for extra time on the table with my different injuries. I need certain mobilisation done on my ankle and my hip, and then get the massage after that. So my head ref would know to allow more time for that.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's around that and around what time you jump on. We get a quick flush massage before we go out into the field, before we go and warm up. What time we're going to go out and warm up, and, you know, sound checks and stuff like that. So there's a fair bit of, like, protocols that need to be adhered to, what time the toss is and stuff like that need to be adhered to before we even start to think about getting on the field and blowing the whistle.
So you spoke about sound checks there. So we've got to do that. We wear comms gear, and we might even post a photo on one of our on one of the social medias one time to sort of show people what we wear during a game. So we put that. So the sound techos, that we call them, the techos come down, we put our gear on, we go out onto the field. Once everyone's done on the table, we go out onto the field and we test that gear. That's amongst ourselves, and we also check in with the bunker. So whoever the senior review official is will come in while we're out on the field and say, hey everyone, how are you going? Have a bit of a chat. Make sure that they can hear us clearly and we can hear them clearly.
Yeah, and we generally do that half an hour before kickoff, between 45 minutes in case something does go wrong and the technicians need to jump in and fix that. And they're pretty good at getting things fixed pretty quickly for us to make sure that when we get on the field, we don't have to worry about, you know, is our sound gear working or not, because, you know, we know and have the trust and confidence in those guys to be able to make sure we've got a direct line with the bunker and that's working, with our match day coach up in the box and between the four officials on field. Because, you know, as much as coming through the grades, we don't have that communications gear, and, you know, we learn to deal with it. To officiate an NRL game and be down one resource can really have a major impact on how that game's officiated.
So you just touched on there on our match day coach. So we'll also have someone who's in the grandstand at the game, in what used to be like the old video referees box, and they've got a direct line to us to talk to us as well. And they'll just come in at pretty much at tries, after we've spoken to each other about how the game's going, and they'll just say, yep, team, you're travelling well. They might give you a tip on something about make sure it could be something like a head ref and assist ref on the 10 metres. They might be a little bit out of whack.
Yeah.
And they'll just make sure that we readjust to make sure that we're as close together as possible.
Yeah, so one thing with the match day coach at the ground and the bunker externally is that at no stage during the run of play will those guys talk to us. So during the run of play, whilst the ball's in play, at any stage, the only communication we have is between the four officials on field. The bunker will generally only talk to us, will only talk to us before the game to do a check, and then in point scoring decisions when we ask for a check, and foul play scenarios where play is, you know, needs to be placed on report. But apart from that, we don't talk to the bunker at all. Our communication during the game comes from the match day coach, who's in the stand, who has a really good look. He's up high, has a good look over the field. And, yeah, it might be a minor tip around your distance on the 10. Yep. You know, like, you know, Badge, you need to go a step longer. You're a bit shorter than Adam G, you know, when you're holding the 10. So we need to be consistent on the field. So he can really assist with that from his from his view. He also has a screen up there. And, you know, like I said, we don't get information from the match day coach unless – you know, something really needs to be fixed.
Is really broken, yeah.
Because generally, like you said, at most tries, we'll have a quick chat, the two referees and the touch judges, to where the game's at. It'll be like, you know, we're getting really good compliance in the ruck here. We're working really hard. Continue that. Yeah. Feels like the 10's good.
Or vice versa. Geez, we're getting – the touch judges might say to you, geez, we're getting really challenged on the 10. There's a lot of line speed. Yeah. Or the referees might be talking and say, we feel like there's the rucks are starting to get slow.
Yeah, and very rarely does the match day coach come across and say, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
I think, you know, people may want to disagree with us, but I think we get a pretty good feel for what's happening out there live, and that's why we have minimal input from outside sources. And, there probably is a perception out there that, you know, we get too much information, but, I know, and like I said, I've been around for a long time. The information we get is really short, it's very rare, and it's just, you know, specific to what we're doing.
Yeah, and lots of times it can be specific to the individual. So our coaches, like any coaches within a team, know their athletes. So they might know what you look like or you sound like when you're maybe struggling physically, or maybe being overloaded with something, or maybe becoming heightened with something. And they're like that with all the other officials as well. So they might be able to see that and be able to say to you, all right, Badge, take a breath, slow yourself down. You know, everything's good. It could be something as simple as that. So as you said, there can be a bit of a perception out there that, you know, the bunker or a match day coach tip us into a lot of decisions or make a lot of decisions, which doesn't really happen.
Yeah, and on the flip side of that, a lot of it's positive reinforcement as well. A lot of it's around, boys, you're going really well, continue that work rate, you know, and, you know, make sure that what you're doing, you continue to do, because we're getting a really good result. So that just, what it does is, as a referee, it just gives you that confidence to go, well, I'm in a really good spot now.
Yep.
You know, so, and it can help, because sometimes, you know, the game seems a lot tougher in the middle than it is from outside as well. So sometimes, yep, I can say, no, you're going really well. Yep. Like, this is looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So that really helps.
Yeah. So then we come off at half time. So we have about that 10 to 15 minutes at half time where, you know, we get a drink, we have a bit of a break. Match day coach, we talk amongst ourselves, amongst the four of us, of how we think the game's going, whatever, and how we're going. And match day coach comes down from the stands as well and says the same sort of stuff that you just spoke about, and as part of their role. We then go out, finish the second half, then we come off at the end of the game. So then what does a post-game protocol look like for us?
Well, I would imagine, and not having been part of an NRL club, I would imagine our post-game is very similar. Although we don't get the bumps and bruises and the breaks, we still have to recover. And a big part of post-game is recovery. So we probably are in the ground for another hour and a half, 2 hours close to, about an hour
probably
and a half.
Probably an hour to an hour and a half.
Yeah, before we leave the ground.
So probably something I missed out on before the game, we also weigh in. So before we get on the physio table, we weigh in, have our weight written down the same way players would. Yeah. So then post-game,
we weigh out. Yeah. And then we look at weight loss and, you know, making sure that we get enough fluids and food back in before we leave the ground to get back to our pre-game weight. So post-game is, I would assume, like I said, very much like a club. We sort of jump off and we sort of sit down and relax for a little bit because, you know, 10 to 12 Ks over 80 minutes and decisions and stuff takes a fair physical toll. So, and, you know, the older you get, the harder it gets. So, yeah, we generally sit around for 5 or 10 minutes and sort of dissect what we just had, have a quick chat about, you know, how we thought we were, almost like a hot debrief of the game. So it's just, you know, quick rundown, how did we go, what do you think we did well. Then we start the rehab process. So we'll jump back on the physio table. For anyone who needs a quick flush, generally we get our calves and hammies a quick rub, and those guys with niggling injuries sort of get those looked after. We jump in the ice baths, so we'll do a session in the ice baths with, you know, hot and cold showers.
Stretch down.
Yeah, we've got foam rollers and all that. And there's always a hot meal in the room for us to, you know, we have to eat before we sort of leave the ground to make sure that we're getting that, you know, that protein back into our bodies post a pretty physical session. So yeah, by the time you do all that and get changed, shower, you know, muck around a bit and have a bit of a laugh. We're generally an hour and a half, and then the thing post that is we go home, and I think I've spoken about before that there's a fair buzz of running around and refereeing an NRL game. There's an adrenaline rush, a massive adrenaline rush, and it takes a long time to come down from that. So you generally, especially an 8 o'clock kickoff or a 7:30 kickoff at night, you know, if you get to bed before 1 a.m., you're doing pretty well. So post that, then you've got to make sure, because sleep is one of the best forms of recovery. So we've got to make sure that, you know, you're getting the right amount of sleep and you know, looking after yourself.
Yep. So that's the physical part done for our games. We then move from the game into, I guess, our review process and our debrief process. So the very first thing we do within, 10 minutes of the game finishing, 10 to 20 minutes of the game finishing, we have an app on our phones and on our iPads that's called Game Plan.
Yeah.
Within 10 to 20 minutes of the game finishing, we would usually open our app and there'll be a bunch of clips sitting in a folder of your game for that weekend. So whatever game you just had, it'll be listed there, this team versus this team, round, whatever. You'll click on it and a bunch of clips. And that is pretty much any decision-making we had to do during that game. So all of the penalties that were blown, anything that was knock-on, knock-back, forward forward pass or potential passes, tries, it might be a communication thing or positioning thing. Any of those sorts of decisions are in there and it will be listed as correct or incorrect. Well, if it's listed there without incorrect, it means it's correct. If it's incorrect, it'll have incorrect next to it. So it might be the time, penalty to whatever team, strip, incorrect. When you click that open, it'll show you either it could be one screen, two screens, or the four split screens, showing you all different angles of that decision. And you can sort of see where you got it wrong or where people were standing or how you got it right for the decisions that were
generally right.
Within that, we have a second folder called discussion points, which could be things that are up for debate. Is it right? Is it wrong? Is it just a positional discussion point or a comms discussion point saying, again, there's not really a right or wrong, but this is something we're going to have a look at moving forward.
Yeah, so that comes directly from the bunker. So that vision we get, it comes out of the bunker. We've got an analyst in there, Christy Mills, who does an outstanding job in getting that to us as quickly as possible. And the reason we like to get it as quickly as possible is because as referees, we want to get everything right. We want to be perfect, but we want to know what we've gotten wrong. We just want to clear it, especially for the guys that are backing up. So if that's a Thursday night and you've got another game on Saturday or Sunday, you want to know where you sit from that first game. Sometimes it ain't all good. And sometimes you know it's a bit dusty, but you'd rather just be able to sign it off and not wait till Monday and have those 5 days where, you know, it's like, am I right, am I wrong? So we generally get that so that we can tick off on those decisions, move on.
So there'll generally be something between 20 to 40 clips.
Just depends on the game. And, you know, some games are, you know, a lot more decisions than others. Some games, you know, you just get unlucky with a lot of tight calls.
So it's pretty immediate feedback that we get on those decisions.
There's also an option for Bernie Sutton to comment on those clips as well. Yeah. So if it is a Thursday night game and he's not going to see you to Monday, he can then comment on, especially on some of the discussion points as well, what his thoughts are on those, because he's not in the bunker for every game. He might be at grounds and that, so he hasn't signed off on those decisions either. So it gives him the option to do that as well. So you're getting some interaction with your coach, even though you're not getting the face-to-face interaction.
So
we also look at those when we go into our debrief process on the Monday as well.
So if we took that example of a Saturday night game, after getting off the field, I'd have my bunker clips there, my game plan clips. I can look at them whenever I want. I would then have my debrief on a Monday, what we call post-game coaching. Between the end of my game and post-game coaching, I will have had to have watched my game again. And we have a program called Analyzer, which all the clubs have as well, which is split screen. We've got program vision running at the same time as the Eagle Cam, so the high camera, and we watch that and we cut our own clips of anything. So we wouldn't cut the same clips that are on game plan, so it'd be anything extra to that. Could be something that happened in the ruck, or this is a bit slow, or hand on ball here, or this 10 metres was big, or this player was short on the 10 metres, or whatever it might be.
And so... Like you said, so the next day is your Sunday, which is your recovery day and the day to go through your tape and watch the game. So, like we said, the Sunday we'll generally go for a swim in our recovery day and clear that off and have a bit of a flush, and it's more prehab stuff, and watch the game. And like we said, the game plan clips game specific, where when we watch our tape, we look at role specific as well. So if I'm watching the tape and I'm the assist that weekend, when I'm watching it, I'll be looking at stuff that I've done in the assist role, generally my stuff a lot. You still pick up other guys' stuff when you're watching it and cut clips on it, but you're generally looking at what you've done and what you've done well and what you could have done better, because, you know, when you cut in all those clips, there's opportunity for other people to then learn off that stuff as well.
So when I'm there as a touch judge, I might see a play the ball and think, that's a bit slow. I wouldn't necessarily cut that clip because that's not in my role. I would be cutting the clips on the 10 metres.
10 metres, your movement specific stuff.
And the referees from that game would cut those clips.
Generally.
Yeah. Sweet. Okay, so then we come in, we do our post.
Just quickly, that process of watching our games it can be quite a long process as well. Sometimes it can be 3 hours because you've got a lot, you have to rewind, fast forward, you've got to look at, you might look at the same 10 seconds of vision 10 times to then come up with a result of how you could have done it better. Because it's not just about cutting something, it's also about learning from that. So when you watch it, it's, we got that decision wrong, why? And then you go back and you say, I'm in a really good position, but just at the time that that decision was made, a player cut across my vision. Okay, could I have been somewhere else? Or and then you start to look at, well, where is everyone else? Why did we miss this? Why didn't someone pick it up in the team? And then it could be, yep, someone was in a position and they just made the wrong call. It could be, you know what, we were in some poor positions. There's plenty of different
alternatively,
variables.
Alternatively, some of the clips are also positives of and going, then, geez, yeah, this was really good teamwork or this was a really good decision. How did we arrive to that? Okay, so then the four of us cut our clips. At the same time, the post-game coach is cutting clips for the four of us as well. The four of us compile our playlist together and that's what we go to our debrief with. We sit there. Our post-game coach takes us through their clips and their thoughts and we have a look at sort of our stuff as well and go through our debrief process, which again takes anywhere from hour to an hour and a half.
Generally an hour. We try and cut them to an hour now just to... Well, in the past we've gone... And the reason why we do all this pre-prep for this is to shorten that process so that when we get into the debrief, it can be done, get in, get out, because we've already signed off on everything.
Yep. So pretty extensive look at what we do from when we start getting into our game until when we sign off on our game after that Monday. So
it sort of blows out the water, the fact that people think we just turn up and referee and go home.
Yeah, absolutely. So things were quite different on the weekend with Magic Round. Do you want to just give the listeners a bit of a rundown of what happened during Magic Round and how it was different?
Yeah, the big thing was logistics. So we had... As much as we had everyone in Brisbane for the same weekend, we weren't all there at the same time. So we weren't all... We didn't all go up as one team. So the Thursday night team, they went up on Wednesday. They flew out on Friday. So I flew up on Friday. I didn't see those guys at all. But every other team over the weekend, because I was there till Sunday, I got to sort of at some stage, either whether it would be at breakfast, at lunch, or at dinner that night in the hotel, sort of got to bump, cruise past them. So... Yeah, like I said, all the teams went up at different times, but we went up in our own individual team. We didn't sort of go up as one big group. And we stayed at the same hotel and we had a team lunchroom and where we sort of that was where we interacted in the day, which is something that we don't get to do as referees. You know, the last time we sort of got that was back in the Auckland Nine. So, yes, I could just imagine... we've got Gav Reynolds who does our logistics and stuff. It would have been a nightmare for him to getting everyone in, everyone out, hotel rooms booked and then rebooked for the next group to come in, food, accreditation. It would have been, quite a hectic weekend for him. So it ran, from all reports, it ran pretty smoothly.
Yep. And then so we went over what happens in the dressing sheds. So how did that throw a bit of a spanner in the works as well, given that, especially on Saturday with three games back-to-back, how did that work?
Yeah, so we were lucky, fortunate enough that at Suncorp Stadium there is more than one referees room that we could utilise. So there was two rooms and we just alternated. But the big thing, and we had a meeting leading in as, around logistics as a group, and a big part of what we do, we talk about respect and respect each other. So we made sure that, when you left the room, you left it spotless so that the next team that come in weren't coming in under, a messy room, an uncomfortable room. We kept interaction, people in and out of the rooms to a minimum so it wasn't, upsetting the next team to go in. And we had to have extra staff on so we had to have two physios and someone to run the water on the field, which sort of added to logistics as well for the weekend. So, it was a little bit different, but as an official, when I went out to referee my game on the weekend, it felt no different. The way that it was set up and the structure around it, it felt no different to me than any other weekend, because when I got to the ground, once I was at the ground, my game was exactly the same as it had been every other week.
Yeah. So, we got lucky at that ground with the two different sheds that worked in well. But, everything else was... just that little bit different where you got to bump into the rest of the referees and have a bit more of a group atmosphere around it.
Yeah, it was a really good weekend. It was like being part of a team.
Yeah. So hopefully that gives people a pretty good insight into what we do. Before we sort of finish up, I just wanted to answer a question that we had from a listener last week about when we call time off when we have a bunker check. So this is something that we'd like to encourage other listeners to do. If you want to ask a question about something, just happy for you to tweet at Badge or myself or comment on something on Instagram and ask a question. We're happy to answer those questions as soon as we get a chance to. So we had a listener ask about, when do we call time off at a bunker check? Because it can be quite inconsistent. And I guess there's no specific rule about when do we call time off, because what we've got to do is gather the information amongst the team. So depending on the situation, the head referee might know straight away that, geez, that grounding looked dicey, and they call time off straight away because they know that they want to check it. If they don't know that something's happened, so it could be something near the touchline where that's in the wheelhouse of the touch judge, or it could be something like an obstruction where the assist ref is really in charge of that. What do they need to do?
Yeah, and the actual decision itself has a makes a difference as well, because like you said, if it's a grounding one and it's under the post and the referee's standing right there, he's going to blow time out straight away because he knows he's the one making this decision. No one else can help him. Yeah. But if there's something that has three or four facets to it, like there might be an obstruction and a potential obstruction into a potential tackle grounding off the ball into a touchline and grounding, like you say, we've got to get all the information to know what our starting point is for the live decision and also what we're checking, because what we say verbally will then tip the bunker into start to look at those processes. So if I want to check an obstruction that's, happened four passes ago, but I don't verbalise that, it may take a while for the bunker to pick up that's what we need to look at.
And we can't just call time off straight away because it's not always going to be checked. So there's a good example of it on the weekend. Chris Sutton was refereeing a game and was it Nick Morrell? Someone was on the touchline and there was a dicey... Well, there was no grounding, but Nick was ruling on the touchline and Nick was talking about checking. About saying, check start with no try, check the grounding. Whereas Chris knew that it wasn't a try, that the ball had been dropped, but Chris just wanted to confirm with the touch judge, not out? Because then that changes what the restart is. So that conversation needs to happen. So Chris didn't check it, rules the knock on, they go out for a 20-metre restart, which is why you can't just blow time off straight away that there might be a potential try.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
Good question there. So what's the rest of your week look like? So where are you up to this weekend?
So on Thursday night, I get to go down to Melbourne to officiate in the Melbourne Storm and West Tigers fixture on Thursday night. So, it should be fun. Another away trip.
Yeah. It's good.
Just before I go quickly, I just want to also congratulate. On the weekend, we had the National Under-18s Championship final up at Redcliffe, and the referees for that game were Sam Swift, James Hartbridge, and Marcus Fitzgerald from Brisbane. So that's a pretty big stepping stone into a pathway into the NRL. So congratulations to those guys, and from all accounts, refereed the game really well.
Yep, well done. Well done, team.
How about you? How's your weekend?
Pretty busy. So I'm on the line on Friday night, Penrith and the Warriors, which, always good getting out there in the West. Lucky it's the earlier kickoff, so it won't be too cold on Friday night. And then double up into refereeing New South Wales Cup on Sunday, Dragons and Newcastle.
Where's that one at?
Henson Park.
I get to sit on the hill at Henson Park.
All three grades at Henson Park on Sunday. It should be a good day. So with that, we'd like to encourage everyone to join our Facebook and Instagram pages. Our Facebook page is NRL Officiating and the Instagram handle is at NRL Officiating. So give us a follow to keep up to date with what's happening in the world of rugby league officials across the country, from under sixes through to the NRL. And if you're interested in becoming a referee, please visit refrugbyleague.com. And if you have any questions for us, make sure get on Twitter, get on Instagram, hit us up, and where we can, we'll definitely make sure we answer those questions for you. So hope everyone enjoys this weekend's football, and thanks for listening to Refs Roundup.
Bye.